times, you know, we have these amazing reports and findings, and you might do a webinar, you might send out a report, or, you know, a Word document or a PowerPoint, whatever your company, you know, uses to communicate. But being able to communicate the right findings to the right teams at the right time when they're making the decision is truly a challenge.
This is Real Talk, the Customer Insight Show with Jen Mancusi, a top-rated live stream and podcast in the market research and insights industry. We stream live on LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, and you can listen to us on all major podcast channels and watch on dbtv.tv. Join Jen and her guests for a weekly discussion around topics that will help you understand your customers better. Real Talk is presented to you by Vox Pop Me, the leader in video research for over a decade. Here's today's conversation.
Hello, insights professionals, marketers, and everyone who wants to understand their customers better. I'm your host, Jen Mancusi. The topics of proactive research and insights teams being strategic partners to the rest of the company, really super important. This has been coming up a lot over the last 12 months. So how can insights teams actually be strategic partners to their businesses? Let's find out. I'm looking forward to hearing more about this topic on my chat with Jill Burnett, an experienced global insights leader. Welcome to the show, Jill.
Thank you.
So nice to have you on and to see you today. Looks like we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're going to power through, and I think we'll get there. So to kick us off, can you just tell us, this is a question I ask all of our guests that come on the show, what does the word agile mean to you?
Yeah, so I think, can you hear me?
We can, yeah.
Yes, just the video, something is happening, sorry. So agile, you know, the typical definitions of being quick and adaptive and responsive, right? All of those hold true, but I think the other, or in addition to those definitions, I like to think of resourceful as well. Just having that, the ability to find the right resources and bring them to the table, and having those skills as well.
That's a great add, I think, to how people typically think about being agile. And we just had this conversation internally today about, we use the word scrappy, but resourceful is really it too. It's like, you know, where can you find, like, what does that mean, I guess, to you when you think about resourceful? Like, where, what are some of the places that you can find those resources that maybe don't exist?
Yeah, I think if you're, you know, if we stay in the world of research and insights, I find it most helpful when we think about the tools that we use, right, for the team. So, you know, I've been in research and insights for a long time, you know, from the days of mall intercepts and pen and pencil and paper surveys. So watching and being witness to the innovation that's happened in this industry is so powerful. And I think the ability as a team leader and as an insights leader in an organization to be able to bring those tools to the teams, to bring the resources that make us more efficient, that, you know, allow us to do more with less, you know, whether that's budget or time or efficiencies or just a better outcomes, right, are all pieces of that puzzle, I think.
Totally. Yeah. And really, like, staying on top of that, those innovations. I mean, it's not an easy task, honestly. There's so much, like you said, but it's so important to kind of stay up with what, you know, the latest innovations that are out there. That's such a great suggestion. So let's get into the topic today. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of what you see in the current state of, you know, insights as a whole? Like, are you seeing insights being more reactionary or more proactive? And what are some of the ways you've seen that play out?
Yeah, I think, you know, in all my years in research and insights, the goal and the vision and the mission has always been that of a strategic nature, right? We want to be strategic partners. We want to truly present the holistic lens of the consumer or customer or, you know, whatever our focus is. But I think the reality often is, you know, we tend to be more reactionary. And I think that's due to a couple of things. One is structure, right? Where does research and insights live in an organization? If you're on the outskirts and separated, whether it's, you know, structurally or physically or whatever the design is, it's easier to be reactionary when you're not integrated and part of everyday conversations, right? Where it comes to the conversations are already happening, the questions are already being asked, and then teams will come to researcher insights and say, hey, can you do a survey or can you get the answer to this question or, you know, what's the best name for this product, et cetera. But if we can structure ourselves so that we're part of the conversations, so that as a team we can anticipate, right, the questions that need answering, then we are much more likely to be on that strategic path than a reactionary path, I think.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Sort of like being part of the conversations day to day, you understand the context of where those questions might come from.
The
question just comes up with no background. What would you describe, like, I guess, where do you think is the best team for insights to sit on? I've seen insights teams that report up through marketing or report up through product. Like, in your experience, where do you think insights best lives?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's so much the actual structure as the environment and the culture of the company. Mm-hmm. I think and to go a little deeper in that question, we also, and you and I talked about this the other day, that, you know, that use of research and insights kind of interchangeably, right? Mm-hmm. So we have research, market research specifically, I guess, to keep our scope in that world is, you know, it's there. It's the biggest piece of insight work, right? Whether it's primary research, secondary research, competitor understanding, segmentation, right? Those research provides those nuggets and those truths and those understanding to insights, right? And so insights can live, it can be the same people doing the research and then crafting the insights, but insights is really in and of itself a more strategic function because it's the ability to take those disparate pieces of understanding, the answers to these business questions that we seek out, and coupling that with, you know, landscape understanding, with competitor understanding, with consumer understanding in your company and the culture, and being able to craft the stories for leadership and for strategic decisions that are happening. So I think what happens often is oftentimes in companies, we don't make room for both pieces of that, right? We spend a lot of time and a lot of resources on the research and getting the questions, but whether it's because of bandwidth or resourcing or expertise, expertise, we don't all allow room for the true insights to develop, the strategic pieces to develop.
Yeah, I see the same thing, actually. And I think from, you know, when I think about marketing data specifically, that's my experience, right? And marketing attribution or performance metrics and things like that, like there's a million data points that you could be measuring at any given time, right? And not all of them actually make you smarter. So right. I feel like it's the same with research. Like you can ask all the questions. And I think it was Sebastian Schuliacher, who's currently up at Post Holdings, who said on the show, like the data is just the facts. Like it doesn't actually tell you really, you know, you need that first, but you have to take it that one step further to actually do something with it. And I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of time spent, like you said, on the research itself, and maybe not even always on the right research potentially that's, you know, going to help you to make the strategic decisions, which is really where the, like what you're saying, that's where the kind of strategic insights really come out.
Absolutely. Totally agree. I mean, I think from what I've seen, it's also the ability for a company to allow growth and development of the, you know, Michelin, we called it the métier, right? The specialty, the expertise. You know, there's so much potential and room in the research and insights world. And that's why I've stayed there all these years. I love it. You know, it's what's fun. It's what I'm passionate about. But if you think about the development potential and the growth potential for our people who are in this world, you know, you can start at the research piece, right? It's learning the methodologies. It's learning how to ask questions. It's learning to articulate the business question teams are coming to you with. It's budget. It's project management. Just amazing skills that we all have to develop for this expertise. And then it is, you know, if you're thinking within an organization, then it's taking the understandings you get from these research projects, right? Whether they're naming studies or positioning or segmentation or brand health, right? And it's learning those and how they connect and how they, you know, how they start to build a picture of your brand and your consumer and your landscape and your competitors. And then it's that understanding of where your brand fits in the more holistic picture, you know, against your competitors and in the marketplace. And then it's taking, okay, what about understanding of trends and what are we thinking is going to happen in 20 years to, you know, for mobility as an example from my most recent world. And so when we start talking about insights, it's leveling up our people until there's this level of expertise where they know the consumer so well, they know the market so well, they know the competitive landscape so well, and they know what's coming and what we're thinking about, where we're going to need to be in the next 20 years, right, to stay a strong, relevant brand. And it's using all of that understanding and knowledge to build the stories, to be a strategic partner. So I think there's just, for companies, there's so much potential for building and fostering, you know, just vibrant research and insight teams and communities. It's the potential is just limitless, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also ties in with what you were saying about resourcefulness and, you know, staying on top of the innovations, right? Like if there's technology or automation out there that can help to replace some of the, you know, the project management skill set or whatever it does, it actually gives people an opportunity to move beyond the more tactical day to day and into that more strategic, you know, up-leveling, thinking about the foresight of what's happening in 20 years, like, you know, the stuff that the machines can't do.
Right.
So, I mean, what would it look like when an insights team is a strategic partner and kind of works beyond and kind of moves past that more reactionary position?
Well, a few things have to happen. I mean, one, the culture of the, you know, the company, there has to be that respect and credibility for the teams and the contributions, right? And the willingness to make room for the work to happen. The development of the people, you know, has to be there. And most importantly, it's like we said in the beginning, it's being part of the conversations. It's being a critical piece of the teams. You know, I can give some examples. Most recently, you know, we had strategic pillars, call it, for focus, right? So thinking our 5 or 10 year plans, we had very specific dedicated teams for certain topics. And in some of those teams, there was an insight manager in the core team, right? So they're in every meeting, they're hearing every conversation, and they can proactively bring that consumer lens and understanding to the table. And then in other teams, the insight manager may have been on the extended team. So they weren't part of every conversation. And that's when it becomes more reactionary. That's when it becomes, hey, here's the question that's happening in our core team. Let's go ask Insights to do a survey to, you know, answer this question. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's the importance of actively being just integrated and inculcated into every conversation. Well, maybe not every conversation, that might be difficult, right? We want to be part of everything,
of course,
to be seen as you know, adding value along every step of the way, and not just to answer a specific question.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think needs to change? Like, if you're in a business, if you're listening right now, you're an insights leader, and you're feeling like, hey, I don't have that. I don't have the trust mm-hmm. and respect and the credibility. I'm not being invited into the conversations. Like, what do you think needs to change within the organization to get that? And where does the responsibility lie in terms of the insights leader and the others in the business?
Yeah, I think it's the responsibility lies on, I don't like to use the word both sides because I don't want to make it sound adversarial, because it's not. Yeah. But, you know, insights, we have a responsibility to show the value we bring, right? And part of that is communication. It is proactive, you know, being our own advocates, right, for what we bring to the table. So a lot of it is, you know, can we prove ourselves? And maybe there's a period that it takes some proving. But it's also, you know, almost every organization says, or all I hear are, you know, we want our decisions to be consumer centric, right? We want to make decisions where our customers or consumers have a seat at the table. You know, you've seen all these images where a meeting room and maybe there's an empty chair at the table that's supposed to symbolize the customer, you know, always mm-hmm. in the room. So I think companies want this. They want the lens of the consumer or customer and that understanding to always be present, that empathy, you know, decision-making based on empathy. And I think it's our role to show how we bring that. And so it's, you know, if you're an insight manager and you don't feel like you have the room or the recognition or the credibility, you know, you might have to get scrappy on how you show that. You know, you can do host webinars or lunch and learns, but it has to, we have to do a better job and learn to make sure that what we're bringing to the table, our insights, are actionable, and we have to show the link between what decision makers are struggling over or you know, pondering with. We have to show that link. I mean, we all, as researchers, we get excited when we see these nuggets or aha moments, and we want everyone else to get excited. But it's on us to make the link, to make the link with the business and with the strategic outcome.
Yeah, that topic, that specific point you just made at the end there has come up a lot recently about, you know, the job of the insights person is not just to understand your consumer or the market, but also your internal teams and what's keeping them up at night so that you can make that.
Exactly. Link. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's our job, is to make that link. You know, we can spend all day and, you know, we often do, just going through just, oh my gosh, interesting findings. And, you know, look at this and what consumers are saying. But until you've made the actionable link with teams, that's when you show your value. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think some of the tips that you'd shared around, like, having a, you know, a session or sharing out the insights in different ways. I was talking to someone a while back who, you know, their teams just invite other teams to sessions and say, mm-hmm. we have something just for you that you guys are going to want to hear about. And over time, it does help to build that credibility of like, oh, wow, this person is actually looking out for me and is a partner to me and is going to help me do my job better. And not just somebody that I'm going to tap into if and when I need.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that goes back to also, we can't be, you know, a lot of us who are, and I'll speak for all of us. A lot of us research nerds, you know, we'd be super happy all day just to pour through data and look at interesting things and never come up for air or pick up the phone to talk to anyone, right? So a lot of it is, you know, talking and understanding the needs of the team and being so connected and so integrated with the business that you're able to make those links as those aha moments appear in the data or the Vox Pop Me reels, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that makes me think of how, you know, shameless plug here on Vox Pop Me, right? But when, you know, finding ways to bring your insights and nuggets, right, your aha moments to life, the tools that are out there now, like we talked about, the innovation, it's incredible, right? So now there are so many ways to bring your findings to life, to, you know, you don't have to just show a bar chart or a trend chart, right? You can give voice now to these findings. And that's one thing we have found so powerful that resonates so well across teams.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we love hearing that, of course. But in reality, that is one of the reasons why a lot of, you know, our wonderful customers work with us, is that, you know, it adds a layer of insight that people pay attention to and remember in a different way. Right? Like actually connecting a face and a voice to the insight. You know, first of all, it just makes it like a lot more snackable. We're not, you know, you don't have to sit on a presentation, or you don't have to, you know, read a 100-page report. Here's the highlights, right? Here's the TLDR.
Yeah, and,
you know, really creates empathy, and that's a great way to create that link, and to be able to say, here's a real person with this real problem that you're working on solving for right now.
Yep, exactly. I love it.
And so, I mean, we're talking about like sharing the insights and building that credibility, but what about this topic that keeps coming up for, I mean, many, many years now, about democratizing research and the research results? Like, what role does that play in sort of not just being a partner to the other teams that you're working with in the organization, but even enabling them to tap into some of these insights themselves?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I honestly, in all my years in research and insights, I think it's a number one, or at the very top, at least top three of our challenges, right? I think, again, it goes back to as an expertise, as a career and skill, you know, we love digging into the numbers, into the trends, into the understanding. And so many times, you know, we have these amazing reports and findings, and you might do a webinar, you might send out a report, or, you know, a Word document or a PowerPoint, whatever your company you know, uses to communicate, but being able to communicate the right findings to the right teams at the right time when they're making the decision is truly a challenge, right? Where does all of that knowledge live? I think it continues to be a challenge for most of us in insights. You know, there's some great tools now for, you know, libraries, and we were calling it knowledge engagement, right? How do we not just have a repository for all of the great work we've done, but how do we engage the rest of the organization into what we're learning? I think that's at the top of my list for exploration and ways to improve, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly not going away, right?
No. And we have more and more, we just get more data and more, right. More nuggets of ahas and understandings. And so I think that also, though, goes back to companies and organizations recognizing the need for a true insights role,
yeah.
Right? Beyond the research, beyond the collection of understanding, but the people who have the institutional knowledge, who have the market knowledge, who have the foresight capabilities, those roles that can put all of those pieces together and communicate, you know, have their kind of finger on the pulse of what's happening internally in the organization, what questions are being asked, that role is key. That's a strategic role, and companies, not all companies make room for that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the challenges, as you say, you know, as, you know, insights becomes more, or I should say research, maybe in the context of this conversation, mm-hmm. becomes more democratized, that insights expertise is, you know, there are some companies who don't have those teams anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're missing that link that you've been talking about.
Yes.
You know, the functional, like running a survey is something that anyone can do. Whether they do it properly is another another question. And I think some of the insights teams that I've seen out there that are, you know, handling that democratization challenge well are enabling other teams to do certain things. And like you said, you know, proving their, you know, credibility in mm-hmm. other areas to make sure there's kind of room for all. Because I think the challenge that, you know, that the industry is up against is, you know, people in marketing teams and in innovation teams and product teams are curious and they want to get closer to the consumer and closer to the people that they're serving. And so you don't want to dampen that.
Right. Right.
But like you said, there's a skill set, and not just any skill set, but an up-level skill set to be able to tie everything in.
Yeah. And, you know, not to throw too much of a tangent out there, because you could do 3 more podcasts on this. But, you know, the tools you were just saying, the tools that are out there now and quote unquote, anybody can use them. Yes, they allow us to get closer to our end consumer and customer than we've ever been able to before. 100% agree. And more authentically, I would argue as well. But there's also, I think we have to be very careful. These tools ideally would be used to help make us, the teams with the skills and expertise, more agile and resourceful, not replace us, right?
Of course.
I think we see some of that happening of, you know, anyone can do a survey, but not just anyone can interpret the results, not just anyone can ensure validity and credibility of the work, and not just anyone can translate the findings into actionable results, right? So,
for sure,
you know, I get a little nervous with the I love the tools. I love the innovation, but I think we need to be really careful and still respecting the expertise, the amazing expertise that's out there in the research world.
Yeah, for sure. I think so too. And I think, like, from what I've heard out in the market, like, you know, there are just certain things that require that level of skill set that can't be done by someone else that doesn't have the experience. And and then finding those areas that maybe don't require that skill set and is where the democratization can really happen, and kind of, you know, analyzing the risk of, you know, this study versus that study, and you know, where insights teams really need to own the process and where other teams can get involved. And I think it's really, like you said, about the culture of respect and trust and, you know, working collaboratively, that's mm-hmm. where it can really excel in the best way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been so lucky in my career to be with companies that have that respect and chance to be part of working towards being a strategic partner, right? I don't know that we all get there 100%. But
right. Yeah. Do you think it's gotten better in recent years?
I'm biased because I you know, was with Michelin for a really long time. Mm-hmm. I can say, talking to peers, I don't know that the end goal or mission or vision has really changed. I mean, all my years in research, I think the end mission and goal has always been, can we provide that lens and that deep understanding of our consumer, customer, right? What, depending on your business. So I think that has always been there, that underlying reason for being, you sure. know, what's our why. But I think I have seen, in probably the last decade, I mean, this is purely personal, the increased use of insights over research, like using the purposefully using the word insights. So I think, yes, there is more focus on believing there's a greater depth to what we can bring to the table. I think most companies are still trying to figure out what does that look like, and what are the skills we need, and what's the structure that works the best for our teams, and how do we share it? I still think that's a huge piece of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we were to sort of flash forward and say, okay, now we're in an organization where we're really, you know, have a very strategic partner in insights and infiltrated throughout the teams, what's the business impact of doing that well?
You know, I think the business impact is you have reached this ultimate vision of having the confidence that the decisions you're making are truly through the lens of your consumer or your customer, grounded in empathy, grounded in a solid understanding of the market and your business, and positioned to be positioning yourself for what's coming, for the future, is that, you know, the best we can be prepared. You know, I think it's just the happening of what we said we wanted all these years, of the consumer truly having a seat at the table.
Yeah. And I think the key of what you just said, I love that, like having confidence in the decisions mm-hmm. that you're making. That is so critical. And seeing it play out in a reliable way, like a repeatable way, I should say, over time.
Right. Well, then you get better at it. You know, you begin to establish your benchmarks, you know, globally. You begin to, you know, have that solid understanding of what works and why it worked, you know, so we're not just throwing darts in the dark and going with our gut. So, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the dream, right? You can kind of predict the future. Hey, if we, you know, here's the formula. If we A plus B equals C in terms of creating a positive customer experience or a product that's going to fly off the shelves, like, that's the dream. And really insight, you know, doing insights properly is the ticket.
Yeah. It gives us the why it worked, that understanding it, you know, as best we can.
Yeah.
It'll be 100%. Yeah.
I love that. Well, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, I loved hearing your thoughts on this whole idea of research versus insights and how to be more proactive and strategic. This has been great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, and apologies for my camera, but that's okay.
No worries. Listen, we pivoted in the moment.
There you go.
Agile here. I think
we are agile.
This worked out great. Well, thanks everyone who listened in today. We're going to be back in a couple of weeks where I will be joined by Dennis Devlin and Jeff Jones, the best-selling authors of Three Wise Monkeys. See you then.